Good morning, and welcome to today's conference call announcing the merger of Provident New York Bancorp and Sterling Bancorp. My name is Christine, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Jack Kopnisky, President and CEO of Provident New York Bancorp. You may begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Please be aware of the forward-looking statement in the deck and the script. As you read in our news release issued prior to the opening of the market today, the boards of directors of Provident New York Bancorp and Sterling Bancorp unanimously approved a definitive merger agreement in a stock-for-stock transaction. Joining me today on the call is Louis Capelli, Chairman and CEO of Sterling Bancorp, Luis Massiani, CFO of Provident New York Bancorp, and John Tejan, CFO of Sterling Bancorp. During this call, we will take you through the details of this compelling transaction. Following our remarks, we'll have a question-and-answer session. There are also supplemental materials that will be referenced on today's call available at the company's websites. To access those materials, and there's specifically a presentation around this, go on the investor relations section of either company's website. The transaction highlights begin on slide 2 of the presentation. Needless to say, we are very excited about the merger of such well-established New York-based organizations. We are especially excited to be working with Lou Capelli and his team. Our objective is to create a high-performing bank primarily focused on the small to middle market commercial and consumer segments. The merger further demonstrates our strategy to continue to expand within the greater New York metropolitan market. With this transaction, we gain a top 10 market position in deposits among regional banks in the highly competitive metropolitan New York market. Sterling and Provident share our rich history, compatible culture, and complementary core strengths. Both organizations pride themselves on delivering value-added expertise and service through a team-based delivery model. The resulting combination reflects a diversified loan mix in terms of product, yield, and geography. We expect to significantly leverage the origination capabilities of each organization, generating meaningful opportunities for revenue growth. Each organization has low-cost, diverse deposit funding. As a combined company, we will also be diversifying our revenue sources. Resulting fee income as a percentage of total revenue for the combined company is approximately 24%. Finally, this combination results in continued strong levels of liquidity and capital ratios at the holding company and the bank. From a financial perspective, the value we are creating for our shareholders is self-evident. We anticipate delivering a return on average assets greater than 1% and return on tangible common equity greater than 12%, with earnings growth exceeding our peers. Through our combined operations, we have significant opportunity to drive enhanced returns and earnings by creating a more efficient organization. Our financial projections include an 18% combined cost reduction by year-end 2015. We are very confident in our ability to both achieve this level of cost reductions and retain our clients and high-performing employees. We also want to point out that no revenue enhancements have been added to our forecast, although we expect to leverage our platforms for even better productivity. Estimated EPS accretion for 2014 is 20%, and for 2015 is 31% as we realize the efficiency gains. The internal rate of return is in excess of 20%. Clearly, the strategic rationale and financial outcome of this combination is compelling. But before we review the details of the transaction, I would like to ask Lou Capelli, Chairman and CEO of Sterling Bancorp, to offer his important perspective.
Thank you for that introduction, Jack. We are looking forward to partnering with you and your professional and accomplished team to build the new Sterling. I also wish to thank all of the investors, customers, and employees of both companies who have joined us for this call. the merger of Provident and Sterling is a positive development for both companies. It will create a stronger, more competitive institution serving the needs of small to middle market businesses and individuals. Before you hear the details of the merger, I would like to give you my personal perspective. I have spent my entire adult life and professional career here at Sterling, from the mailroom to the boardroom, and I have a lifelong commitment to seeing the company prosper. I believe we can all be proud of everything that the company has achieved, up to and including this merger, which will position the combined company to reach new heights of customer service, product availability, profitable growth, and shareholder value. The Sterling boards of directors unanimously voted for this merger because we are all confident that it is in the best interest of our shareholders. The stock-for-stock transaction provides a solid return on our shareholders' investment and also an opportunity to participate in a rewarding upside into the future. The combined institution will have greater resources for customers in an expanded market area. That is good news for the small to mid-sized businesses and individuals of the New York metropolitan region who will now have a stronger financial partner with a diverse portfolio of products and services. The merger is an excellent fit because Provident and Sterling are institutions of similar size, character, and culture. The decision to carry on the Sterling brand name is a commitment to the core values that have made Sterling an attractive choice for customers, employees, and shareholders. I am honored to serve as the chairman of the boards of directors of the new company and bank, and will be engaged in the business going forward. My thanks to all of the shareholders, customers, employees, and community members who have supported us over the years. The board of directors and management of the new Sterling are committed to serving your needs and building a growing and successful institution as we go forward. And now, Jack, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, Lou. Now, let us take you through the details of the transaction, starting on slide 3 of the investor presentation. The consideration for the transaction is a fixed exchange ratio of 1.2625 Provident New York Bancorp shares for each Sterling Bancorp share. This is a 100% stock-for-stock transaction. The premium based on yesterday's stock value is approximately 11%. The exchange ratio results in approximately 53% ownership by Provident shareholders and 47% by Sterling shareholders. Beginning with the first dividend payment after closing and subject to board approval, we intend to increase our regular quarterly cash dividend on our common stock to 7 cents per share. This will enable former shareholders of Sterling Bancorp common stock to maintain a consistent dividend payment after close. While we consider this a merger of equals, technically Provident New York Bancorp is the acquirer. We plan to merge Sterling National Bank into Provident Bank and convert to a national charter. We were in the process of completing an application for such a move prior to this transaction. The end result for Provident will be a name change to Sterling Bancorp and Sterling National Bank. Given the challenge of a name conflict that exists in New Jersey with Provident Financial, it was most logical to transition the combined company to the well-regarded Sterling brand. We will continue to maintain executive offices in both New York City and Montebello in Rockland County, New York, as each affords us benefits in terms of talent acquisition and facility efficiencies. The new leadership team will consist of experienced, high-performing leaders from both organizations. I will lead the company as CEO with Luis Massiani as CFO. Lou Capelli, as noted, will be the chairman of the board. Current Sterling Bancorp president and director John Millman will also be appointed to the board of directors and will serve as senior advisor to the combined company. Bill Helmer, our current board chair, will also serve on the board as an independent director, as will I, as a director. We expect the new board to have 13 members at closing, with 7 members among Provident directors and 6 selected from among Sterling directors. We will seek approval from our respective shareholders, along with customary regulatory approvals. We have already met with both the OCC and Federal Reserve to brief them on the transaction. We expect to receive approvals and close in the fourth calendar quarter of 2013. The combined franchise will have approximately $6.5 billion in assets, $5.2 billion in deposits, and gross loans of $4 billion. The combined 46 branches average $112 million in deposits per branch. Both organizations have very strong core deposit bases. Combining the loan book creates a solid, diverse mix of product options for our clients. Each organization has historically maintained strong credit metrics, and we anticipate continuing this level of performance. We will also continue to maintain strong capital levels at both the holding company and the bank. We intend to raise approximately $80 million in a debt issuance prior to closing and downstream the majority of the cash into the bank. As part of this, we intend to pay off the trust preferred securities of Sterling and reduce the funding cost. From a projected operating basis for the combined company, the yield on earning assets is anticipated to be approximately 4.17%, driven by higher yielding loans and securities from Sterling. The cost of deposits is low at 29 basis points. Margins are estimated at 366 basis points. And as I said before, the fee income ratio to revenue will be 24%. I can tell you that the entire leadership team will be very focused on enhancing both the net interest margin and the level of fee income. Once fully phased in, cost savings are realized, which is estimated to be year end 2015, we project our efficiency ratio to be in the low to mid 50% range, return on assets to be greater than 1%, and return on average tangible equity to be greater than 12%. Slide 5 provides further details of the combined lending and fee-based businesses. The lending product set and the origination capabilities are significantly enhanced by the combination. The revenue mix is further enhanced by the high percentage and diversity of fee income businesses generally coming from Sterling. The combination delivers high quality, long-term expertise in the areas of middle market C&I lending, asset-based and accounts receivable management and lending, payroll finance, commercial real estate lending, equipment finance, and warehouse lending. From a fee-based perspective, there is a long history for both companies in the areas of depository and cash management, payroll processing, mortgage banking, wealth management, factoring and trade finance, and title insurance. Projected revenue will be approximately $257 million. Slide 6 shows a diversified mix of loans with a pro forma loan yield of 5.1%. 29% of the portfolio is C&I, 26% commercial real estate, 19% 1-4 family loans, and 9% in multifamily product. This mix gives us better diversity than either company could achieve separately. We have, as a combined entity, a strong core funding base at a cost of 29 basis points. Non-interest-bearing demand deposits are 31%, now is 13%, savings and MMDA 37%, and time deposits 19%. Both organizations have historically focused on low-cost funding, and we will continue to do so in the future as we ensure that we provide full relationship banking to our clients. Out of this combination, we see increased revenue generating opportunities. I would emphasize again that none of the revenue opportunities are included in the pro forma financials. These two organizations with terrific product solutions and platforms that will become even more productive with a disciplined, team-based distribution model. Specifically, we will now be better positioned to serve larger, more diverse clients, especially in the middle market segment. There are meaningful opportunities to bring expanded product capabilities to each bank's clients. The Provident teams have many potential clients with a need for specialty lending solutions, such as asset-based lending and factoring. The team from Sterling will be able to bring more commercial real estate solutions to their clients. Collectively, we have an opportunity to provide wealth management solutions to small and middle market business owners. We will also expand Sterling's mortgage business across the Provident markets and beyond. With increased origination volumes and ancillary fee income such as from areas such as title insurance. A team-based approach to accelerate production and originations will drive the optimum behavior from our teams, benefiting clients and shareholders. This distribution methodology is a differentiator, and we've talked about that before on the Provident calls. Slide 8 shows how the combination Metro New York market compares to regional banks. With this merger, we become a top 10 bank in terms of deposits, and our distribution system will cover a strong and growing market within the region. Slide 9 represents an interesting heat map of businesses within the region. To make the point of the map apparent, Provident's legacy markets of Rockland, Orange, Sullivan, Ulster, Putnam, and Dutchess counties are home to less than 10% of target market companies within the region, and our teams have done a very good job of penetrating those markets and enjoy a top three market share position in those markets. The balance of the map, including Manhattan, the outer boroughs, Long Island, and contiguous New Jersey counties, account for more than 90% of businesses in the category of our target. There is significant opportunity as we merge these companies. Now let me ask Luis Massiani, Provident CFO, to pick up the call and take you through the remaining slides.
Thanks, Jack. Turning to slide 10, we provide details on our cost savings estimate of $34 million, which represents approximately 18% of the combined operating expenses. We have worked closely with Sterling management in determining these savings opportunities and are confident we will achieve these targets. We currently anticipate to consolidate 5 to 7 branches and other office locations throughout the New York City metro area. We believe that the combined company will be in a significantly better position to manage increasing expense burdens faced by institutions of our size. Once fully phased in, cost savings are realized. We expect to manage the business to a mid-50s efficiency ratio. On slide 11, I will go over the key transaction assumptions. For financial modeling purposes, we are assuming a transaction closing date of December 31st, 2013, although we expect the transaction will close earlier in the fourth calendar quarter. As neither Provident nor Sterling provide guidance on earnings, we have used equity analyst consensus estimates to model the pro forma impact of the transaction. Based on data available on Thomson Financial as of April 2nd, Sterling's IBIS mean consensus estimate was 79 cents in 2014 and 84 cents in 2015, applying a 6.5% analyst estimated long-term growth rate. For Provident, our fiscal year and consensus analyst estimates are on a September year-end basis. For comparability purposes, we have converted the available consensus analyst estimates to a calendar year basis. Using this approach, Provident's IBIS mean consensus estimate for calendar year 2014 is 70 cents and 74 cents in 2015, based on the analyst estimated long-term growth rate of 5%. As stated earlier, we expect to realize approximately $34 million in cost savings from the merger. We expect to achieve these savings 75% in 2014 and fully in 2015. The pre-tax merger-related expenses at close are estimated at $33 million. We have completed our credit due diligence and have estimated a credit mark of approximately $33 million, which represents approximately 2% of Sterling's loan portfolio. We have also included the impact of an anticipated $80 million debt capital raise. Although we are still evaluating various issuance alternatives, we expect we will be able to access cost-efficient capital to further strengthen the combined company's capital position. We also expect to use a portion of the proceeds of the offering to redeem Sterling's Trust Preferred Securities. We anticipate raising our quarterly dividend to 7 cents per share, subject to board approval. On slide 12, let's review the pro forma financial impact of the transaction. Looking at 2015, which is the first year of fully phased in cost savings, the estimated earnings per share accretion is above 30%. Assuming our cost savings grow annually at 3.5% and Sterling's long-term growth rate of 6.5%, we expect to achieve an internal rate of return in excess of 20% on this transaction. For modeling purposes, we have assumed a 13 times terminal value multiple and a combined Tier 1 leverage ratio of 9% through the projection period. We anticipate the transaction will have a dilutive impact on tangible book value per share of approximately 15.6% to close. This is due to the relative size of the two companies, the relative price to tangible book value multiples, and merger-related expenses. Given the attractive pro forma earnings profile of the combined company, we expect to earn back the tangible book value dilution in approximately 2.8 years. This is based on the incremental earnings method, where we only factor in Sterling's earnings, transaction cost savings, and purchase accounting adjustments, and measure how long it takes us to earn back the $1.20 per share dilution at close. Using the consolidated earnings approach, where the combined earnings are compared to Provident's standalone tangible book value projections, the earn back period is estimated at approximately 5.25 years. Under any metric, we believe this is a compelling transaction that will create value for shareholders over time. In the bottom table, we review the pro forma estimated capital position at close. The pro forma ratios include the impact of the assumed $80 million debt capital raise. As you can see, both the holding company and bank remain in a strong capital position that will support the future growth of the combined company. On slide 13, we review our due diligence work. Provident and Sterling have conducted substantial two-way credit and operational due diligence. We have used internal and external resources to complete this review, and we have confirmed these are two high-quality companies with strong operational risk management and credit cultures. For purchase accounting purposes, the estimated credit mark of $33 million is approximately 2% of Sterling's portfolio. Other estimated fair value marks at closing include a markup of loans of $14 million, a markup of $17 million on Sterling's investment securities portfolio, and a core deposit intangible of 1.25% of Sterling's core deposits, which we defined as deposits less all-time deposits. Now we'll turn it over to Jack.
Thank you, Luis. The combination of these companies will produce a high-performing organization. So personally, I think of this in maybe a top 10 compelling reasons for this transaction. First, it creates a combined franchise with significant scale to successfully compete in the greater New York City market. And I'll tell you, there is no better banking market than greater New York, metro New York City. I've looked across the country, and the largest concentration of clients and businesses, obviously, in the country. So whatever segment you focus on, there's a lot of opportunity. Secondly, it puts the combined entity into the top 10 deposit market position among regional banks. So we have scale. Three, it provides compelling opportunity to extract cost savings and materially improve operating efficiency. So deals like this, we believe, are very opportunistic, where you have two very strong organizations, bringing them together, good deposit base, loan mix, fee income side, but an opportunity to take between 15 to 20% of combined costs out of the organizations, and we'll be very systematic and procedural in the process to look at that. Fourth, it has significant growth and cross-selling opportunities. These two companies bring to bear a significant level of products that each other doesn't have, and in many cases, markets that each other doesn't have. Fifth, it allows us to leverage small and middle market commercial lending expertise with this team-based distribution strategy. So our team-based strategy that are managed and monitored and incented based on what they contribute to the bottom line as a team is something that we're going to implement within the context of the company across the company. Sixth, it diversifies the loan portfolio and revenue mix and enhances loan origination capabilities. Again, I'm not sure you can find a bank out there, especially this size, that has the mix and the diversity of loan portfolios and deposit portfolios and the mix of NIM-driven revenue and fee income revenue. Seven, we are 100% committed to maintain very strong levels of liquidity and capital ratios. And we've talked to the regulators quite extensively about capital ratios and feeling very comfortable with what we proposed. Eighth, we believe there is significant upside by the nature of this transaction for our shareholders. We think that there's terrific upside as time goes on, especially in an environment that we're operating in today, which is a very low interest rate and probably extended low interest rate environment, gives us the opportunity to extract cost savings and position ourselves extremely well for increases in rates at some point in time in the future. Ninth, the merger enables us to take best practices and high-performing individuals from each company. This is all about taking the best of both worlds from the Sterling side and the Provident side and identifying those high-performing individuals in each organization and creating a high-performing organization as a result. It is not about everybody in Sterling going to use the Provident practices or vice versa. We are going to be very systematic and organized in our process to identify best practices. And frankly, in due diligence, we identified quite a bit of those best practices going for our go-forward strategy. And finally, the leadership team that we are identifying has significant experience in diligence, integration, and operating acquisitions. This team has delivered results throughout their career. This level of experience will significantly lower any of the execution risks within the transaction. Look, there's two big things that we need to do. We have to identify and reduce costs, and we have to increase productivity and grow revenue. And we, again, will be very systematic in the process to make that happen. This team is very experienced in that. I think between Provident and Sterling, there's been 9 acquisitions since 2002, and a number of us as senior leaders have led integrated and managed many acquisitions over our careers. So in the end, we really look forward to delivering strong results to our shareholders, a great value propositions to our clients, and a fantastic work environment for our employees. We want folks that want to come in every day and be excited about the opportunity before them. In the final analysis, we're focused on delivering very strong operating results and look forward to creating this high-performing organization that is very effective at execution and executing this this strategy and this plan. So now I'd like to open this up for questions you may have.
Thank you.
Operator, if you wouldn't mind teeing up the method to ask questions.
Okay. If you would like to ask a question, please press 0, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if there are questions, please press 0-1 on your touch-tone phone. Our first question is from Travis Lan of KBW. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm on for Colin today. How are you?
Great. How are you,
Travis?
Good, thanks. Jack, I wonder if you could just start and talk about how the integration of this transaction may or may not impact your potential hiring plans of more commercial relationship teams kind of between now and the time the deal closes.
Sure. So we would anticipate to not be hiring teams in the interim unless there's some unique situation where it's highly opportunistic. But we generally look at kind of freezing the hiring of both companies in the process because we have terrific folks on both teams that as part of the process we would identify and integrate.
Okay. And then sort of a related question, Luis. So when you think about the $34 million of gross cost saves, do your accretion estimates incorporate any reinvestment of those savings back into the business, or are those just coming out dollar for dollar?
No, they're coming out dollar for dollar, Travis. Although, as I mentioned, we are assuming that the cost saves, there's a growth component to them sort of post-2015 at 3.5%, but we are not assuming a reinvestment. It's just dollar for dollar.
Okay, and then in terms of the merger charges, do you have an idea of what the timing will be of the charges, and B, what the breakdown will be between what flows through Provident's books and flows through Sterling?
Well, for modeling purposes, what we've assumed is that full $33 million is going to flow through our books. In the end, you kind of get to the same place regardless if they take it before, you know, sort of from a tangible book value dilution perspective and so forth. We anticipate that the vast majority of those are going to be in the first year, sort of the first 12 months after the close, although there may be as we continue to evaluate, opportunities to, facilities consolidations, personnel and so forth, there may be some extended time into the second year after the close for the merger related expenses.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about your feeling for the securities portfolio once you put them together. I mean, is that kind of a good pro forma run rate in terms of the contribution to earning assets where you see it? I mean, it looks like kind of 27%, 28%.
It does make sense. As you know, sort of Sterling's portfolio is slightly different than ours. However, sort of as we grow and double the size of the company, we've discussed, Jack and I, that we obviously have to have a little bit more diversified, securities portfolio going forward. So the composition that you would see on a pro forma basis is likely going to be what it will look like going forward for the most part. You can expect that yields and sort of the composition as a percentage of total assets, sort of the yield will likely be, sort of very similar to what it is today. From a composition perspective, as a percentage of total assets, we fully intend to become a little bit more efficient from a balance sheet perspective and may decrease the size of the portfolio and reinvest that into Sterling's and ours higher yielding loans. So, that part of the strategy that we've talked about on a standalone basis will continue to be something that we focus on going forward.
Gotcha. And then just two more. The first is a little silly, but you're retaining the Sterling name, but do you have an idea for what the ticker will be? Is it going to continue to be...
It'll be Sterling.
It'll be Sterling's ticker.
STL.
Gotcha. Okay. And then finally, Lou, I wondered if you could just talk about, how maybe your future outlook for the banking environment impacted your decision to kind of combine forces here at this point.
We believe that this is the right transaction for Sterling, its shareholders, and its clients. The merger is an opportunity to bring together two outstanding institutions with complementary sets of products, shared culture, superior service, and create a nearly $7 billion asset company, which virtually doubles the size of Sterling, and almost the same for our new partner. And it is a potential to deliver very strong results for the shareholders. We are very, very excited and enthusiastic about putting these two companies together, and feel very confident that it's going to be a huge success.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Our next question is from Matthew Kelly from Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just staying on that question there, question for Lou as well. Just were there any other interested parties, and how was this shopped? Was it negotiated specifically with Provident? Anything you can elaborate on there?
This was negotiated directly with Provident.
Was it shopped to a broader audience or something you've been working on for a while, just kind of direct negotiations?
It was direct negotiation with Provident.
Gotcha. Okay. Question for Luis. When the deal closes, end of the year, for Q1 of next year, what do you see the margin shaking out at with the accretable yield baked in?
So that's it's a good question. So we're going to have, Jack alluded to sort of on a A plus B basis what the yield turns out to be. And we obviously have more work to do, Matt, to, understand exactly how you know, sort of how that loan portfolio is going to come in and so forth. But there's, you know, we expect that this is going to be, you know, sort of 366 without the purchase accounting adjustments, give or take. You know, so you can expect, you know, sort of something closer to, you know, sort of 4% with the accretable yield. And that's just going to be a factor of, you know, sort of how quickly, you know, sort of the, you know, sort of the Sterling portfolio that's acquired sort of pays down and so forth. So as we finalize the purchase accounting adjustments, we'll obviously get a much finer point on exactly how, you know, sort of how those marks will flow through back into income. But it'll be, you know, pretty substantial in that regard.
This is John Tiegen. I would just point out that there is some seasonality in our loan portfolio, so that first quarter yields aren't always representative of what they'll be for the rest of the year.
How much on your standalone operation has that impacted the margin historically?
If you looked at our performance on a historic basis, you would find that in the first quarter, it tends to be a down quarter from the fourth quarter as far as volume and yield is concerned, and as we go through the year, it tends to increase.
Okay, gotcha. And then just looking at the share count, so the 10K has 30.956 million shares for Sterling times the exchange ratio, gets you 39.1. But will there be any gross-ups in the actual deal value and shares issued for the SERP, the retirement plans, option plans, et cetera? I mean, what's the actual shares issued that we'll see in the S-4?
You know, not in the, you know, for the SERP and the retirement plans, no. There's, you know, minor, you know, sort of, you know, sort of there's minor options and restricted stock that will get the 1.2. But if you take, you know, our share count plus the 39 that you just, you know, sort of alluded to, that will get you pretty close to the number that will be, you know, sort of in the S-4.
Okay. And for the SERP and the retirement plans, that's baked into the deal charge of $33 million, or?
Well, the SERP and the deal, you know, so the SERP is essentially fully, the liability for the SERP is you know, sort of fully, you know, sort of fully accounted for sort of in Sterling's financials today. So, you know, sort of the, we've gone through it with our, with, you know, sort of with, you know, our folks and external advisors. We're confident that liability is, you know, sort of properly recorded on the books and that there shouldn't be a fair value impact there. So when you talk about the SERP, it's really just, you know, sort of cashing out the SERP. The liability is there already. So there won't be a, you know, sort of impact on the fair value of the net assets acquired because of the SERP. What there will be is a decrease in the assets as the SERP is cashed out.
And the defined benefit plan?
The defined benefit plan is going to be, you know, we're going to move to a hard freeze, and that's going to happen, you know, sort of shortly prior or immediately prior to the transaction. So that will just be similar to our program, which we froze in 2006. We'll just have a frozen program, and, you know, sort of that will continue as it goes. You know, sort of the liability, you know, same as with the SERP, it's, you know, sort of it's properly accounted for, and we do not anticipate any, you know, sort of any fair value adjustments in that regard.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Frank Barcosi from Mendon Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Have any decisions been made as of yet regarding divesting or selling any of Sterling's existing operations?
No. We do not intend to divest or sell any of existing Sterling operations.
Good. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from John Ash of Wellington Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Regarding the merger expense, could you just elaborate a little bit on the components and what type of change of control payments are involved? Thank you.
Well, there's, you know, sort of with the, you know, $33 million, you know, sort of the, you know, sort of a portion of that is related to, you know, sort of the management contracts and change of control. You know, a substantial portion of it as well is, you know, sort of accruing for, you know, potential severance and so forth that will incur on a go-forward basis. And then we have, you know, also included in there sort of our estimate of what we intend for, as we talked about, sort of branch closures and facility consolidations and so forth. You know, we're also, you know, sort of taking a view on what, you know, that's going to cost as well as, you know, sort of technology, you know, sort of terminations and so forth. From a, you know, management perspective, there is, Give me 1 second to give you the exact numbers. But from a management contract perspective and change of control at close, there's $11.2 million of that merger-related charge that represents the, you know, sort of the change of the change of control payments. And when we talk about sort of the the other expenses, I alluded to the severance, and there's also a portion that goes in as we think about how we're going to integrate the two businesses. You know, we're going to have, you know, somewhere in the range of, on a combined basis, 450,000 square feet in the city. You know, there's going to be, you know, sort of, we anticipate that we need about 400,000 to 375,000 square feet of, you know, sort of office space. So there will be a cost and a charge to being able to, you know, sort of exit some locations and enter new ones and so forth. So that's also being captured in the $33 million.
Yeah, maybe from a macro level, I think the professional fees are about $10 million.
Yes.
Severance and change of control and all the people related are about
$20 million.
Million.
That's right.
And $3 million is other.
Is other.
Change of contracts, things like that. So hopefully that gives you enough of a breakdown.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. We have no further questions. I will now turn the call back over to Jack Kopnisky.
Thank you very much to everyone that has joined the call. We're, again, excited about the opportunity to come together and see a tremendous opportunity for the future. So, Luke, anything?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just thrilled about this combination and excited and feel very confident that it's going to be a huge success for all of us.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.